Hello, and welcome to About Greyhounds, the podcast about greyhounds. This is Jacqueline Howard of Greyhound Friends of New Jersey. Being a greyhound lover, I'm a collector of greyhound art in several mediums. Paintings, prints, sculptures, stained glass, jewelry, you name it. I was delighted to come across some of the most unique greyhound art I've seen in a long time. This art is original and incredibly personal to the people who own it. Even better, commissioning a piece from this artist is especially affordable. I'm talking about dog nose art. That's nose with a K. I am thrilled to have on this episode the American artist behind it, Nicole Peters. Nicole, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. Nicole, I would love it if you could explain the custom art that you create.
Sure. So I create abstract pieces of digital art from photos of your dog's nose art. So if your pet leaves smudges on car windows or glass doors or really wherever they decide to use as their canvas, if the smudges are visible on the photo, I can remove the background and transform those smudges into a one-of-a-kind piece of abstract art that you can display in your home or office.
And I, of course, have seen the art. It is stunning. And if anybody wants to see this art, and please do go see it, I will have links in the show notes to where you can see, in addition to Nicole's website, her Instagram account and her Facebook account. It's really amazing. You know, Nicole, this is truly a very special way to immortalize our greyhounds. How did you get this idea?
Well, I got the idea after a trip to the park with my whippet Oliver and then my foster at the time. Her name is Journey. And I remember coming home and looking at my car windows and saying out loud that, you know, this window looks like the beginning of, like, a Jackson Pollock painting.
Right.
And I thought it'd be so cool if I could just figure out a way to get those smudges off the car window and, you know, create an abstract piece that I could frame and, you know, display in my house. So before I washed my windows, because they were horrible, I took several pictures of the windows, you know, different angles. And I'm a graphic designer, so I went back to my computer, pulled those photos into Photoshop, and just after a lot of trial and error, I finally, you know, figured out a pretty consistent method to get those smudges off of those photos.
Right, and, you know, you mentioned Jackson Pollock. I find the art that you create to be very expressionist. And when I first came upon your website, I thought, wow, you know, look at that. It really does capture that genre of art. And I think it's really, really cool.
So, well, actually, before I even started to, you know, put together something like this, I had done my trial piece with Journey's artwork. And then I found a couple pieces online of Jackson Pollock and William de Kooning.
Yep.
And I put those all on one slide, and I showed them around to some people, and I just said, hey, can you pick out, you know, which is the Jackson Pollock? And nobody could figure it out. I mean, they thought all three paintings were of either, you know, some sort of expressionist painter. And then when I revealed to them that one of them was actually my foster dog, you know, they were really blown away.
Wow. Yeah, and like I said, when I first came across your art, that's what I thought. You know, I was like, wow, like you really wouldn't be able to tell the difference. And I just love it so much.
Thank you.
So, Nicole, take me through the process. Where do your customers start when they want to commission you for some nose art?
Customers usually start, you know, by taking the photos of the nose art. And once they have a good photo with visual, you know, visible smudges, they'll visit my website, dognoseart.com, and they'll just start the order process. And there's an order form there, and, you know, there's a place where you can pick out your sizes. There's a place to put some additional information like color schemes. And then, you know, they kind of have to think about where they want to display their art in their home and how they're going to do that.
Yeah, and the order form on your website is very simple. So if someone wants to order the artwork or commission a piece from you, it's very easy to do so. So, Nicole, you mentioned people take the photo of their dog's nose art. Do you have any tips on how they would take those photos?
Sure. So I found that taking photos in low light or a mostly dark room, or in my case, my garage, with your flash on, it works really well. And as long as the smudges are visible on the photo, I can pick those up or extract the background. You know, sometimes it'll take some trial and error, just different angles and kind of get the best lighting. But usually the low light, darker rooms work the best.
So if I were to do this at night from a car window, my car's not in the garage, do it at night.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Actually, I one day I was sitting at the stoplight and I look over and I see some smudges on my window and I'm sure people around me think I'm crazy, and I immediately pull out my phone and I start taking pictures of, you know, they think the Taco Bell sign, I guess, but, you know, I'm trying to capture those smudges. And it was just this perfect light from the Taco Bell sign that was casting onto the window, and I actually got like one of my best pictures I've ever taken. So
oh, wow.
It's just kind of a trial and error.
Right. So when I take my photo, does it have to be of one dog's nose art, or could it be multiple dogs? Like, I have two greyhounds, and together they get their nose prints all over my car windows and the sliding glass door out to my backyard, actually both sides of that. So I really can't discern whose is whose. But
sure. No, absolutely. I have several pieces in my home, and they've been a collaborative effort from Oliver and different fosters throughout the years. So you know, I've taken a large photo and I've broken it into two or three different pieces, or combined two photos of, you know, one from Oliver and one from one of my greyhounds, and, you know, just try to make it a cohesive design.
Right.
Because that's the most important thing. I mean, obviously you want it to look like it goes together on the canvas when you have it hanging or displaying in your home.
Right. So, okay, I take my photos, and then my next step is to go to your website, dognoseart.com with a K?
Yes.
Okay. And then I would upload it, fill out the very simple order form, which includes, you know, what size I want, and the color scheme. So are there some color combinations that work better than others, and what are the most popular combinations that your customers ask for?
Well, the best color combinations are really just whatever works for the space that you're wanting to display the artwork. I mean, really, the sky's the limit. You know, once I have the smudges extracted from the artwork, from there we can do whatever color combination, you know, fits your color scheme. So really, the sky's the limit.
Okay. So I know that your customers can order pieces printed on canvas, but there are some other options. So can you talk about what the other mediums are that you use?
Sure. So the other mediums that I use are kind of the standard prints on mat or satin paper. And then I'm also offering high-res digital photos.
Okay.
So if, you know, if you have international customers, that's probably, you know, the best avenue is to get the digital high-res, and then you can also use it for your wallpapers, for your computer, your phone. But then if you have, you know, places in your house you'd like to display a framed piece, then either a canvas or a printed piece would be the best option.
Got it. Okay. So I mentioned that your art is very affordable, especially considering it's an original commissioned work of art. Can you give me some examples of your pricing, including the shipping?
Sure. So the digital high-res photos, they're $40, and they are emailed to you. And then I offer the standard print sizes. So, for example, a 5x7 starts at $30 plus $5 shipping, and then goes up to 24x36 prints for $160 plus shipping. And then if there's a custom size or a canvas order, then the customer can contact me directly for pricing.
Got it. Okay. And like I said, like these prices are so reasonable. And what I love is that it really is a keepsake that you can keep of your greyhound or other dog forever. You know, it's always
right.
going to be with you. And it's such a nice way to remember your dog because it'll definitely be there long after, sadly, your dog has left you. So you mentioned international. The audience for this podcast is international. We have many listeners in the United States, of course, and we also have significant audiences in Canada, the UK, Ireland, Australia, and New Zealand, among some other countries. Will you ship internationally?
Unfortunately, I don't offer international shipping at this time, but I do offer the high-res digital files. So if that was something that they wanted to take and have prints made of their own, then they're certainly welcome to do that.
So are those prints, if they wanted to have them printed on canvas, they could do as well in their own countries?
Yes.
Okay.
So I would provide them the high-res digital file, and then at that point, they could have it printed on a canvas or digital print as well.
Okay, great. So how soon after I upload my photos and fill out the order form and submit it will I receive my art piece?
Usually within a couple of days of receiving the order, I will email the proof of the artwork to the customer, and then once the artwork is approved for printing, it's about 3 to 5 business days to receive the final piece.
Oh, wow, that's fast. That's great. I have to ask, what's your most memorable experience in creating dog nose art?
Well, I think probably the most memorable experience was actually not for a dog, but for my friend's 2-year-old son. he was wanting to put together a gift for his wife, and, you know, he's been a fan of the dog nose art as well, but decided to use a picture that his son had created some artwork on their stainless steel refrigerator.
Of course.
So they provide me the picture, and you know, I extracted the strokes from the refrigerator, and we put together a color scheme, and he had it printed on a canvas, and he gave it to his wife for her birthday. So she was pretty excited about that.
Wow, what a great idea. That's really great. And again, what I love about it is when someone sees it, whether it's the baby's nose art or finger art or whatever it is, or the dog nose art, when you look at it or when someone looks at it who doesn't know what it is, it really does, like we say earlier, look like an expressionist painting. So it's like your little secret about what it is and what its
right,
meaning is.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's a nice conversation starter, I think, as well.
Well, I always think, you know, if someone comes over to my house, because I've got several pieces hanging from different Fosters and from Oliver, and if they ever ask me, oh, who's the artist, I'll just point and say, the lazy dog on the couch.
That was so funny. So you mentioned your Whippet. I noticed several gorgeous greyhounds on your Instagram and Facebook feeds. So I can tell you're a greyhound lover. Do you have a greyhound?
I do not currently have a greyhound. However, I've been fostering greyhounds for almost 3 years. And I actually have a foster laying right next to me right now. Her name's Alexi. So she's joining us on the podcast today.
Oh, nice. So so where is Alexi from? Which adoption group?
She's with the Greyhound Pet Adoption in Springfield, Missouri.
Okay. And how does your Whippet get along with the greyhounds?
Oh, he's terrific. You know, I really rely on him to kind of show them the ropes when they first come to our house.
Sure.
And I actually adopted Oliver as a puppy, And at the time, I had two greyhounds, so he's always been raised with greyhounds.
Right.
And I think he just really enjoys having the fosters to keep him company and to chase him when we're outside playing frisbee.
Yeah, we actually have adopters who have whippets that come to us and at Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, and they want to know how do greyhounds and whippets do together, because greyhounds being animals of prey, and whippets being, of course, much smaller, people worry. Have you had any worries with the whippet, with the greyhound fosters coming in?
Never. I mean, it just seems like it just really goes smoothly. And I think it's just because he's been around greyhounds from, being a puppy. And, so he's used to their size and, they just kind of fall into place. I mean, they just start chasing each other. And, it's funny because he gets so upset because he thinks they're trying to, catch his frisbee, which, they're just racing. They're rubbing up against him and nudging him. And, I think he just loves it.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So how did you get into fostering?
Well, I started fostering, I just lost my greyhound to kidney failure. Oh. And a few months later, Elaine Schultz, which I should add that her and her husband are really the engine that keeps this car running for our little group, and she had sent out an email, and she was needing some foster homes because she had kind of an emergency situation where some dogs were coming in. And like I said, I wasn't sure if I was ready to adopt, but I thought, I'll try the fostering thing, and if for some reason I failed, then hey, I've got a new dog. So I just decided to give it a try, and it's been about 3 years and 17 fosters later, so it's been a really good fit. And I always wish that I'd started doing it sooner.
Right. It's so impressive. Many people who don't foster tell us that they don't do it because they don't think they'd be able to say goodbye when the greyhound gets adopted. So what do you do to overcome this when one of your greyhound fosters gets adopted?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that, kept me from fostering initially. And, for me, it's just kind of been a mindset. I have a dog, I have Oliver, and I just kind of feel like, he's my dog, and, we've got room in our homes and hearts for these greyhounds, and, we'll let them come and hang out with us until they can find their forever home. And, it's hard. I mean, there's definitely tears on adoption day, but they're, they're happy tears, because I don't look at it as saying, goodbye to these greyhounds. It's like you're joining your new family, and, that's a happy day. And I've been fortunate that there's been several of my fosters that have been adopted by members of our group who continue to bring them to our events, so I still get to see them and hear stories about how they're doing in their new home. And I think for me that's just so rewarding and just worth the experience.
Yeah, and I agree. And I find when I take the leash and literally hand it to the adopter, that magic moment when that dog has now become part of a family or a home,
right,
it's so powerful. Like, it's such a good feeling, and I'm with you. I always have some tears, mostly because I'm just so happy for that dog and that family. Like, you've just added to a family. And,
right.
Partly because I'm going to miss the dog, but I know that there's someone else coming,
exactly.
Probably within a few
exactly.
days. Yeah. Yeah. So can you tell me about your most memorable foster experience?
I think probably my most memorable would be my very first foster. Her name was Augusta. And she was actually one of the three dogs, I believe, that it was kind of an emergency situation. They really needed a home for her. And, I was a little bit worried because I thought, I'm sure I'm going to fail. I'm probably going to adopt a dog. But anyway, so she comes to my house, and, sweet dog, lovely dog, of course. And within the first week of me coming home one day from work, I keep the dogs in like an oversized mud room while I'm gone to work.
Okay.
And so I walk in, and my mud room looked like a crime scene from a slasher movie.
Oh, no.
There was blood streaks all over my walls, all over my washer and dryer. There was streaks on Oliver's face.
Oh, no.
And I'm freaking out because I'm like, what has happened? What has gone on? And so I immediately knew what had happened because Augusta is banging her tail up against the wall and the washer and dryer.
Oh.
She had gotten so excited that she hit her tail and broke open the tip and continued to rag her tail. And it was just, I mean, painting my walls with blood, basically.
Yeah.
I was relieved because, obviously, you know, they hadn't gotten a fire or anything like that. It was, you know, but, you know, here I am trying to grab this tail and, you know, I'm trying to wrap it and, you know, keep it from going crazy. And the gauze is flying off because she's wagging her tail so hard. And so it was kind of at that moment that I knew that, okay, I can see why people don't always fail at fostering, because I thought to myself, I'm not sure I could do this for the next 8 to 10 years, constantly grabbing this tail, you know, trying to make sure she doesn't, you know, you want the dog to be happy. I want her to wag her tail, but, you know, I also don't want to be cleaning my walls every day when I come home. So yeah, it was a very memorable and experience that I'll never forget, for sure.
Right. I experienced a happy tail crime scene once. It was actually one of my own dogs. Same thing. I came home. There was blood everywhere, but streaks. I mean, talk about greyhound art. And
yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I found out, quickly found out which dog it was. And I will tell you, I mean, this was years ago, years. And I'm a pretty fastidious cleaner, as is my husband. And to this day, years later, we will still find little specks somewhere, you know.
Oh, yeah, same here. I'm still cleaning it up after 3 years. And,
right,
you know, I'm pretty sure whoever makes Clorox bleach, they probably saw a spike in sales that quarter, because, I mean, I just couldn't, every day it was, I just could not get that tail under control.
So, Nicole, the greyhounds on your Instagram and your Facebook feeds, as I mentioned, they are gorgeous. There's links to both in the show notes of this episode. Are they your former fosters?
Yes. All of the greyhounds that are currently on my social media are former fosters. And then, of course, I have to throw in some photos of Oliver as well. So.
Of course. Well, he is so cute.
He's quite the artist, too.
Just a little lower?
Yeah, exactly.
So I have...
His artwork's more like pointillism. He just has these little dots with his nose.
Pointillism, that's great. Like Bende dots, you know, yeah. That's awesome. So I have great news for everyone listening to this episode. Throughout the month of January 2018, Nicole has generously offered to donate 25% of her sales before any tax or shipping, if applicable, to Greyhound Friends of New Jersey. At checkout on her website, use the code GFNJ25, and Greyhound Friends of New Jersey will get the donation. I'll have links in the show notes of this episode, as I mentioned earlier, to not just the website, but Nicole's social media as well. Nicole, on behalf of Greyhound Friends of New Jersey, we are truly grateful to you for helping greyhounds this way. You're very kind. And I must tell you, my greyhound Pilot will be celebrating, I hope, his 14th birthday on Valentine's Day. I know my time with my boy at this point is pretty limited, and I love that I can capture his nose art and have it with me for many years to come. It's truly a lovely and beautiful thing.
Well, that's great. We would love to certainly do something for you and Pilot.
Great, yeah. And I'll definitely have my order in. Nicole's website is dognoseart.com. Again, that's nose with a K. It's in the show notes of this episode. Simply click on the link, check it out, and order your art using code GFNJ25 at checkout. Nicole, thank you so much for sharing this time with me and for all you do for Greyhounds.
Well, thank you very much. It's not often that I get to speak about my two favorite passions, which is graphic design and Greyhounds. So thank you for inviting me. It's been a pleasure.
Of course. Until next week, this is Jacqueline Howard, and you've been listening to the About Greyhounds podcast.